Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you once again on this blessed Friday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Praise be to God. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. God bless you, brother. On another God's Word to Man broadcast, this is Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. I'll be joining them tonight. Praise be to God. God bless you, brother. How you doing?
Well, we, you know, caught between two. We are sad and rejoicing, saddened by the loss of our dear sister Sally Bruce, who passed away yesterday to be with the Lord in heaven. And such a loss to all of us down here, of course, but the heavenly finishing touch of life to be with the Lord is the greatest aspect and hope. So on that part, we rejoice with her. She was a strong sister in Christ for many years and stood for the Church of Christ, Elijah Messon, the end time gospel, strong and diligent, refused to be uprooted. She was strong in faith and dedication. She opened her home to the sharing of many people that come to share about Christ and the end time gospel. And she'll be greatly missed. And greatly, sister, greatly beloved. And right now, you know, we feel the twinge of loss of her here being with her husband, wife, her sisters and sons, and those that knew her. And so in one way, we will celebrate her heavenly journey to go to the Golden City and be with the rest of the saints. So on that part, we rejoice with her and thank God for her diligent faithfulness to the end. Many people started the journey, but always people finish and endure, enduring to the end.
Yeah.
So we miss her, this Sister Sally. I remember years ago when I would go up to her home, and she always opened to fellowship, to sharing the gospel with the brethren. Various one will come to our home. And a special, unique sister, always hospitality and love and greeting and concern about the lives and souls of many. So we thank God for her faithfulness and her example. And so, with her family, our heart and faith and prayer go to them. Brother Keevy, your brother on the gospel, no, it would be a great loss to him and his father in many ways. And but that's something that comes to all. We will suffer loss, and there is no way around it that we're going to have loved ones, mother, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, sons, daughters. Some will leave before us, another will leave before the other one. So we're all going to know what it means to lose the loved ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're,
I agree.
Yeah. But there's a
yeah,
joy on
the
other side.
I got the news. My wife told me, I think it was last night.
Yeah.
And I thank God for Sister Sally. Like you said, the hospitality. And one thing really stuck out with me is when we had that conference in Rockford. I think this was in the early 2000s. And I think I was with Sister Helen. Sister Stella, but we stayed at Sister Sally's home during that conference. And her and her husband's hospitality was, wow. I mean, it stood out to me even up to this day. It was just something about it, you know, that was a blessing.
Yeah, she, you know, and for years, her husband, even though he was not in, in the Church of Christ, Elijah Mess, he had a willingness to accept the brethren's coming to his home, and sister always had a deep hospitality for the saints, deep love, commitment to the work of the Church of Christ with Elijah message and her life in Christ. And you can always count on her. When we have the conferences up in Rockford, and she would always make sure the home and cooking and preparing for the conference and dedication. And she was always gracious and kind and making preparation for the work of the Lord, and always helpful to the men of God and the women of God that was on the, about the king's business. And each time we had about, I guess, 4 or 5 conferences over in Rockford where she would go and make at that hall in Rockford and always make sure and that we were, the hotels and different ways would stay, and the preparation of the place was available. So she was a great, great lady and woman of God, of prayer and faith. And so we thank God for her. And so we're going today. We, I guess in the last 2 years, we had homecoming, heaven arriving with about 6 or 7 saints we knew. So Sister Brother John's wife, Sister Elaine Welch, this year, and also prayer warrior, instant warrior, and intercessor, Sister Roger Cynthia, and then now Sister Sally. And then here in Chicago, we lost a brother, Sean Bell, going with the Lord. So, you know, their time of preparation, they go to the place that we all yearn to be. Okay, so we had to use the time that we have, God has given us, to use it and use it wisely. For no man awfully off time, we don't know. But the one thing about people, when she went through this period of sickness, that's a blessing, because you have time to get everything in order and preparation. That's the blessing about when you have a lingering sickness off and on. You have time to adjudicate, to think and get things in order in your life, to prepare and to make sure things are right with God. So that's the thing about that. Okay. So I think it's going to be this coming next Friday. So hopefully all those that know can make it, will make it.
Yeah.
Yep. She's a family. We are the family of God, the family, the body of Christ. And so we got to esteem that highly. Okay. And, you know, it's this, but she was a fighter. She had been fighting this cancer thing for over quite a period of time. She knew about it, I know. But she fought and steadfast in our life, extended for a while. And thank God for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Sister Christine Clark was what? Been 2.5 years now since you've been gone, or three?
Yeah.
What is 2.5
yeah.
or three?
Yeah.
So some of the pioneer saints have been taken and leaving, you know, that we've known for 40 years or more, you know, and hallelujah to Jesus. But they endured and fought the good fight to the end and in order to be with the Lord. So then before that, 4 or 5 years later, Mother Crockett, Brother Crockett, Sister Dees, Brother Dees, Sister Lester, all the old saints who stood in this work, Lears, Mother Gillespie, Mother Cage, at 95 years old, Mother Gillespie is in her 80s. So, going to be in that number of saints going away, going to yonder. So make preparation for that day. All right. We miss you, saints. I know they've been having a hell of a good time. I know Brother Clark was at the gate to welcome everybody, because I know he's, ever since the Clark was at
yeah.
the gate. And I know Sister Elaine with her shouting self and faith self, and Mother Crockett, I know they was all together at the gate welcoming Sister Sally. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Draves
yeah.
over there in the corner said, "Welcome, sister."
Amen. And Brother Draves.
Yeah,
Brother
Draves. Brother Draves.
Brother Coffee.
Yeah.
Brother Coffee. All
yeah.
of my, I said, you know, but I thank God for the veteran saints. And
yeah.
I just pray that the up-and-coming ones took time to really learn. You know, I know that in many facets we take for granted people
yeah.
God has put in our lives, people that, you know, he wants to use to teach us particular things, and we take it for granted and waste the time, you know, because time is
yes.
precious. So I pray that the
yes.
younger saints, you know, brother, we was talking about, you remember those church mothers and on the motherboard, you know, the mothers that wasn't no girl coming in there with no skirt on. By the time she sat down, the mother coming over there throwing a whole coat over her, the girl looking at her like, what's wrong? Baby, we just don't come dressed like that. You know, you miss those saints. You miss them.
I miss them old-time saints.
Oh, man,
who
they
the line.
Kept you in line. Okay.
Yeah, I mean they kept you on the straight and narrow, and all ministers need good mothers in Zion. All ministers need them praying, sanctified, Holy Ghost walking mothers that keep even the ministers in line, and not only befriend them but pray for them, intercede for them, and there to make sure not only they be cared for, but be stayed in line. And them old mothers can rebuke the elders, get them on the corner, say, okay, elder, you. And the old mothers had the right to not only to tend to the women and keep the women in order, but the old mothers who come and rebuke the elders if they get up. I like that, you know. and now she get the young sisters and other sisters. Now, you know, you're dressing, that's not good. And they will keep them in line. And, you know, you got to respect your husband and take care of your children. They would tell them, you know, when they get out of line. They don't have too much. And then their skirts were so short that you could see everything. They would run over there and throw a sweat over them. So now you got to do better than this,
yeah.
sister. You got to do better. You represent the Lord. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
old-time saints.
Miss them old-time saints, you know. It just gone away now.
My God.
Just, oh, Lord, you know.
Gone away.
Mm.
Yeah.
My Lord.
And thank God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank God. And, some of the old mother saints, they would call me. I said, it's okay for you to correct me, mother. You see me needed some corrections, some things, they would do it. I said, you have the right to do that. Well, we don't have that now anymore. It's always this little, you know, never mind. Can't get in that today. Okay. I don't want to get in that today. But they had a love and a dedication. The saints that were placed in my, the old ones back here, the women of God, they had a special place in my life to help me. And each one I can name, like Sister Sally, all the way to Mother Crockett, Sister Dees, the Cage, Sister Lester, just all the way go down the line, how they have a providence and great effect on my life and a help to me in a special way. And amen. Thank God for the old mothers of Zion. I know some churches, they don't recognize the place that the Bible talks about the older women, the mothers, like Deborah and Rebecca and all those women of God. And Priscilla, some churches don't recognize the place, the special needs of mothers in the church. I know, and, you know, Church of Christ, they don't know. Well, anyway, there's a special need whether Paul spoke about them, the daughters and the mothers in Zion. Okay. What was talking today? Our president received the articles of impeachment today to a full house. So that's something
I heard about that.
Very significant. It's more spiritual significant than people think. It's just not a political. I know they think it's just political, but it's not. It's a spiritual battle. But I want to talk about on this Handmaids Tonight and dedicating to handmaiden women of God who are suffering and dying for the cause of Christ and raising their kids and being wives and helping the cause of their community or their nation or the country or helping. I want to commend all the great women of God, the mothers and the wives and the businesswomen, the medical nurses and doctors and engineers and women that are contributing greatly to our society, are upholding our society, strengthening our society, and building homes and nations, and the great women of God who live in their home and going abroad to help the poor, the sick, the oppressed, those that are void of the gospel. And I got to commend all the women around that go. One of the evangelists, I was reading this the other day, in the beginning of the 19th century, about different groups in different places. And I was reading about the different groups of Christianity and churches that made a great contribution. And there was at the beginning of the 20th century, one of the first, right out of slavery, I told about Sojourner Truth, right out of slavery, was called of God and a voice from heaven gave her a name by Sojourner Truth. And Harriet Tubman, who helped slaves, they were really, most people don't know how faithful and how diligent they were to God and Christ. And they were actually Christian believers. But I was reading at the turn of the century, one of the greatest woman evangelists who happened to be black and a colored evangelist was noted. Her name was Amanda Smith. And she was one of the first black evangelist woman that was noted among all people. And I was reading about her the other day, her life, and how she was at the end of the beginning of the 20th century, how she was noted for her evangelism for Christ, this black woman, and was the first one that's recognized and noted a black evangelist woman. So I've been reading about the history of different people that contributed to the cause of Christ, and women in particular has been used from the day of Pentecost onward, and not before Pentecost, even in Israel, the judges and prophetess and warriors and intercessors in the Old Testament, judges, women was judge, some of them was queen of queen along with the king, so some of them was not so for the God of Israel, but there was some that was sinners. But anyway, I want to commend and all the great women of God that make their contribution to society, to their community, to their home, their family, to their nation, and especially those that were Christians and had hope in Christ, the great they give to the war effort, to the going into war and taking care of the wounded and sick and the medical nurses and those go to take care of the hungry today. And we have any, what will you know it or not, brother? One third of the nation is starving. I don't know if you're aware of that, starvation. Hunger and deprivation.
Right.
Well, we in America, I call it the comfort Christians. Most of them are comfort Christians. I didn't say they wasn't good or they have good aspirations. I'm saying that we are quite comfortable. As long as things are fitting our needs, some of us don't be overly concerned. But there are a group, a remnant, that are really concerned about what's going around the rest of the world. So I appreciate them.
Right.
Hallelujah. Offenses. The Bible says about offenses. As a believer, the Lord Jesus warned his disciples and exhorted them before he left. In particular, if you read in the gospel, all three of them, he says that when I leave, I'm leaving you in charge with the gospel and the kingdom, and you're going to be persecuted and hated for my three reasons, for my name's sake and for my word's sake. That you're going to be despised by nations. You will be persecuted and afflicted for my name and for your mission would be the gospel of Christ. And you will be, so he said, many will be offended and at the preaching of the gospel and the mentioning of Jesus as the risen Christ, not only with the Jews and the Romans and the Gentiles and all people. And he said, you're going to be despised and be hated. And your life's going to be at, you're going to be called all kind of names and references going to be made to you. You're going to be hounded and hunted and running for your life. And you're going to suffer this for my word's sake. And he says, in the Matthew, he says, when they will say all manner of evil against you falsely, Matthew 5, he said, they're going to say all these things falsely against you and accuse you and put you in prison and bring you before judges. And he said, now, I want you to aware that when it comes, I'm going to give you another comforter called the Holy Spirit. And he will dwell not only, I was with you, but he's going to dwell in you. He said, I was with you and I kept you and I preserved you, but he, the Holy Spirit, he will come and he will not only be upon you, but he will dwell in you, and he will be with you always. In this hour that you're going to suffer persecution and despisement. Now, in the 17th chapter of Luke, it says, Jesus said to his disciples in 17th chapter of Luke, it is possible that offenses will come, but woe unto them whom they come. And he was telling them the results of the people that hate them and despise them or do evil to them or judge them. He said, woe be unto them to whom they come. Now, offenses. We're talking about the faith side, but we're talking about offenses come to all people. And we're dealing today with nations that are of the world are in conflict, fighting, killing, destroying, hating. What is this all about? Oh, basically you hear many things report morning by evening. Nations, communities, government, groups, ethnic, certain colored groups in that nation are fighting because of color, class, and culture. And they're against one another and despise and hate and angry at one another. And all these nations got these groups, and it's come all the way to the family. There's so many families that are hurt and wounded and suffering and relationships and marriages and communities and all this fighting and hurt and all this rejection and hurt inspires the people. And so this is going on in every level, beginning at the family, individual, beginning at the marriages and the homes and community, the out community, the state of things, the government, the business, this fighting and bickering and offended. And so many people are hurt and wounded. We're going through a phase now in every, practically every nation, even in America, the Christian nation, offenses. And you find out that it's all about different things that these things are happening, not just by religion or your faith in Christ alone, but that's a major thing, because we find now that many, many people are despising people because they are Bible believers, because they are gospel believers. And there is many afflictions that they are turning against Christians. They're labeling them, naming them, and despising them also. But there's other areas in the social issue, this conflict where families are in turmoil and fighting, and words are spoken, despising words, and children are being molested and abused, and families are torn apart, and husband and wives are not only physical get into, but they get into an emotional war, of mental words, with scars, with hurts, with wounds. Then they get into the racial part. Then the racial part where different groups are spewing out poison against one another. This is going around the world. And even in America, racial tension is at its uptide and divisions. And the church world have to deal with racism and socialism. Conflicts, words are spoken, things are done, burning, destroying churches, burning crosses against certain races, and children growing up without parents. So offenses come. And Jesus said, talking about the Christians in his day, disciples, and our day, and as we go to the end of the world, there will be many, 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 many offenses in every, practically every community, warring against one another, ethnic groups, cultural classes, class crisis. America is having a class culture and a racist class and a Christian class, a social class, about social issues. One group believed that it's okay to kill babies and millions of babies. And other groups said, no, it's not gone. So there's a war and afflicting, name calling and blasphemy. And then there's groups about sexual orientation, whether this is turning our nation about. Some people believe that, you know, it's four genders and all that kind of stuff. Then there is class differences. You can't live in my neighborhood. But then there is homes are being torn apart. Women and husband and wives, Satan is invading that conflicts, and some people are wounded out of broken relationships and they don't recover. Some children suffer because of the parents are not there, or their abusive parents, or their absent parents, or the husband run away, the wives two-timing. So all these conflicts in nations and governments, like the Islam, people think that they are one. They're not one. They fight against one of their five different groups of Islam, can't stand the other. You know, people try to think that it's only divisions in Christian, but Islam, they got as many divisions and bickering and killing one another just like other ones are. So here we are, yeah. Offenses. What's the result of all of this hurting one another and despising one another, this emotional war, mental against using destruction of mental and emotional attacks upon people? Are many people have spirits of resentment, malice, bitterness in them? And so you talk to people And as you talk to people, you see they are harboring resentment in some way. They've been hurt or wounded in some way. They've been hurt, and they're not, and they haven't been healed. So they have resentment in them, and that resentment turns into bitterness, and anger festers, and they're suffering. So what do you think about all of these offenses? How do we heal all of these people? Children growing up with insist anger and violence of them because either the daddy was not there, or he forsook them and ran away, and the mother is cursing and angry with the kids and abusing the kids, or the mother's not there. She's on drugs and got a boyfriend and on this. And so then the rich people who have all the money and power, their children don't get love and quality. They only give them things, and so they're missing something in their lives, and they're angry with the parents, and they're on drugs, and they're trying to get back at the parents, even though they got everything, what we call in this life success, they're still empty and void because the parents is off on money trip and power trip, and so they're in messed up too. So anger. So what do we do with all this hurting people who are festering with malice and resentment and bitterness, which turns you into harsh, murderous, unforgiving spirits? What are we going to do with all this offense? People have been offended. And as a Christian, you constantly have to deal with offenses. A true Bible-believing Christian, how do you deal with it without getting resentful and bitter and angry and overcome that? Even as a minister, you have to deal with all kind of problems in the Christ or whatever you are. You'll have to deal with all kind of people that undercutting you, backstabbing you, even people sometimes in the congregation will be working against you behind the scenes, speaking evil. Sometimes that happens. How do you not get in the flesh and start warring in the flesh? There's people that you're trying to help turn their back on you and start stabbing you in the back. I know it's happened to me. I was trying to help people many years, and the people turn around and become an enemy and stab you in the back, and all I try to do is help and do them good. There is relationship where people, the wife or the husband, start two-timing, and one of them get into a place where they're unfaithful and true, and then after sometime they get fighting or get, sometimes they even kill one another when they find one another, because this happened a lot in our society, because people still feel like it's okay. And the kids are caught in the middle, and they're suffering with anger and bitterness. How do we deal with the hurt people, the wounded people who have resentment and anger, because all of this turmoil is loosed upon us because we have forsaken our God as a nation, as communities, as homes and families, have forsaken the Lord God, Jesus Christ, and his gospel. So there's a lot of angry people in it. And one of the things that we have to deal with in Revelation 12 says, the end of all things at hand. So all nations are crumbling. And they're fighting to stay alive when the Bible said the end of all nations is at hand. And Satan is here, and he's cast out in this last generation, and he's working. And Jesus said the time of the end of all nations, the rule of man, the rule of Satan is coming to an end. So there's a turmoil for Satan to keep his governments, keep the nations under his control. And he knows his time is short. So he's causing conflict in the home, in the marriage, in the streets, with the kids, with the government, with the business. And that's hurting people, wounded people. When I was praying on that sabbatical and seeking the Lord and praying and fasting, we three sisters, Sister Lane and Sister Mary, for those months, the Lord exposed some things in my life that need to be healed and delivered. And he said I had to forgive, and he showed me that I was harboring some things in my life against, that was when I was a child, that was still harboring some things that I had to be healed of. And he showed me during this, there's some resentment, there's some leftover seeds of something that hurt me or wounded me I had to get rid of in order to be completely whole. You get in conflict in the churches where people war and hate one another in their own congregation. They be warring against this sister, their brother against this one there, and right there, and don't even love one another. They just pretend, and they're hurting, and now they're bitter and angry, and they're harboring these seeds in their lives and resentment, bitterness, and malice. And during that intercessory prayer and during that sabbatical seeking the Lord for those months, he said, all people are suffering under three things. And he says, even the saints, the sanctified, the Holy Ghost filled ones are suffering from this. Not only sinners and other people, but these. And he explained to me what they were suffering from, they were struggling with. So, offenses. I'm sure you've been through different things that have been, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus in the 18th chapter of Matthew. These little children, he says, woe be to them who suffer these little ones, the better than your millstone, that you hurt one of these little ones that believe in me. Now people don't believe on and have no problem with hurting you and hurting you or wounding you through their words or their actions or anything. People have no problem with that and feel that they're justified. And I made some mistakes and I had to go back and recover myself from that. So what are we dealing with all these hurt, wounded people? How do you as a Christian, as a minister, deal with offenses? Brother Nate, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay.
I
thought you were still going on with, you know, with your question.
Okay, how do you deal with every believer and not only individual person outside of Christ is going to have to deal with wounds and offenses and afflictions and things that happen, and they'll walk away harboring oppressive spirit or resentment or bitterness and anger. And if you talk to practically anyone, even most Christians, they have not overcome some things that happened to them in their lives. And it's being passed on. Have you seen families that pass on anger and bitterness from one generation to another?
Yeah.
Have you seen nations that passed on racism and cultural classes from generation to generation from generation? Homes that pass it on. Nations that pass it on from generation to generation. And hate war. Right now, we deal in America with a hate war. Not hate against sin, not hate against unrighteousness, but hating people, just angry because of something. Maybe I don't like you because your group, or you a Republican or Democrat, or you are a different color, a different class, or in the home. How do we deal as Christians with the offenses that come in? Jesus said would come. But not only persecution about their faith, but just ordinary offenses that people have.
Man. Well, you know, one of the things that I have seen and, you know, the Lord had really dealt with me about as far as, you know, when we were first offended, you know, releasing it quickly, but also staying more in communion with Christ. I think that one of the mistakes we do, especially if someone has hurt or disappointed or angered us, we fall out of communion with Almighty God. And I found that the more I stay in communion with Him, it's even better, the better I can handle things. But when I'm not in communion, if I'm spending my week just running here and there, no spending no time with God, no meditation on the Word or nothing like that, I have not been able to handle things, you know, that I may or would have by being in that communion with Christ. My faith becomes easily shaken. And, you know, I see when that happens, I can tell. I say, oh, I just slid back. I got to get back with Him. Because if we're not watchful, it's easy to happen. And, you know, that you just fall out of that time with the Lord when you need to stay in the time with him. And his spirit is able to sustain us and keep us, you know. And like I said, you know, certain things people could say or do to me, I could take it more. But, you know, when I'm not in the communion with the Lord like I should be, I don't stand in taking it as much as I would. So, you know, that's why, you know, on the broadcast, besides preparing for the trial, and you mentioned that the offenses that is going to come, brother, I think we went to sleep when Jesus spoke that.
Oh.
I think that part in the Bible, we were flipping the page, we got to it and we hurried up and flipped it on and went to another page. And so when the thing happened, we act like, Lord, you didn't say that, I didn't know that. But he already had it in his word. I think that, brother, that we miss out on preparing like we should. And I just been getting just a little glimpse, brother, of practically what to come and why God has been at his people about getting ready. I mean, I know the blessings of the Lord is ahead in the future, don't get me wrong, but there are also greater tests. And the great part where Satan likes to hit with those tests is from home. And as you have seen,
yeah,
one of the things that have faltered in families is respect. I've seen it to the point where there's a lack of respect of children to their parents, parents to children, siblings, and it has wrecked families because we have fallen out looking at respect for one another. So therefore, you know, we treat one another, and these offenses we bring to the table, you know, to throw it at each other, you know. And I know that that's something that the Lord had been showing me on that one.
So we find people in every walk of life suffering from inward hurts and wounds. Sometimes they carry resentment against a family member. It used to be a husband or a friend, someone who betrayed them. And for the next 30, 40 years, they don't trust men or women or anyone. They've been hurt or wounded. Now, how are you going to deal with all these, some children who are holding grudges against fathers and mothers, or hurt or wounded? Schoolmates and things like the Lord showed me way back in my school day that something had been broken to me, resentment, bitterness, and I had to, it goes all the way back to my school. And he showed me during that prayer about removing all these things so his love could be perfected in me, his love could be complete in me. And he was showing me especially that this was not a problem just with sinners who didn't know Christ or had to come to Christ outside, that this was happening to the, what we refer to as the Christian, the followers of Christ and sanctified people, also was struggling with resentment, bitterness, or hurt inflicted to them by people even in their church group or in their family group. Some people had hurt them because they got saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and were walking with Christ, and now they were under attack by a family member, or sometimes a mate, and later on they harbored this bad feelings, and they didn't get rid of that resentment and hurt, and they wasn't healed, and they now carrying that wounds, and the enemy is using it to hinder them. And then there's people who just in ordinary people who are suffering from being hurt or wounded or scarred, and inward resentment and bitterness is in their lives. So when you meet people like that, you know, you meet them all. I meet them. Jesus, you know, when he explained to me, it's so many people. You think that's not carrying a deep subconscious hurt about something that took place in their lives, a person that betrayed them, hurt them, or a friend, I thought they was my friends. Oh, I just thought they were my friends, and they did this. Oh, I thought my husband was, he was this, and he gone, he jiving with this person, and I just now, I can't trust nobody. I'm hurt and wounded, and I'm mad at every man and woman. I've been betrayed by too many men, so now I'm going to just get me a woman lover and turn into a woman. All kind of things driving people. Oh, this person stole my money. Now, I had monies taken from me and stolen from me from people. And I have also loaned money. I don't loan money anymore. I loan money to people that didn't pay back. Now, you can get a resentment and harbor a grudge in their heart about different things if you don't watch yourself and be careful. Okay?
Right.
And you can harbor it for years and push it in back. And every time that person's name or that thing come up, you get that feeling because this seed is still in you. This seed of hurt. Anger is still in you. You just pushed it away in your subconscious, but it has not been dealt with. You have not been healed. You have not been freed from that, and it's scarring your life. This happened to children, to grown-ups, in every situation about governments and nation, how you were treated. You could be fired from a job and misused on a job and so long and supervised by a supervisor and just harbored against all authority. You just have this thing that happened to me. I know I experienced some things myself personally, and that's why I'm saying there's a way you have to be delivered from offenses and from hurts, because everywhere you talk to a person, oh, they don't have to be in Christ. They can be just an ordinary person. They're harboring something, something broken, something wounded, a scar. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God would bring it. And so ministers who minister to grace and the reconciliation power of Christ has to be aware when he deal with all people. Now, ministers get under attack, and they have to watch it. And ministers get accused and go under pressure, even from within and without. They have to watch it. Hallelujah. And they can hold anger against certain people. And I had to deal with it and go back and recover some people that had did me wrong in the walk of God and did all kind of stuff to me. I had to do a cleansing and a healing in me. And when a broken marriage takes place, when a divorce, it's always some after effects. We just don't see it immediately, but it is something that settles in us. We have to be careful and search our hearts, and that's the Holy Spirit, because something takes place when there's a brokenness. So we find a lot of hurt people carry resentment and bitterness. The seeds of their destruction turns anger into unforgiveness, which has a destructive mold to hinder your life, whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. So, offenses. Jesus merely talked about his disciples, but he's just talking about all people going to be faced with conflict, rejection, wounds, hurts, division because of this issue. My auntie don't talk to me because, oh, I'm a Christian, or I stand for the Bible, and we can't get along. We've been warring, and she don't come out of my house, and I don't speak to her, and I can't deal with her. And we got this thing. When I hear her name, there's something come up in me. I don't want to hear that. So all these things are stifling people. They cause sickness, disease, afflictions, both physical, mentally, and emotionally. So to get free and be healed and delivered and be, you have to be, know what the root of the problem is. Now, I now become aware, since the Holy Spirit dealt with me a long time about resentment and bitterness. Before when I ministered to people in homes, I'll wait on the Lord to see what is kind of broken in their lives, what kind of fence the devil is using to fence their lives in. And I find, like I said, many church people are holding against them to the person in the church, holding something against the sister or the brother or the minister. Some go away mad, angry, and still some leave the church, some leave a business, some leave a home, carrying seeds. I ain't going to never forgive. I ain't going to know. I'm hurt. They wounded me. And these resentment, they may not say anything, but this wound is on the inside of their soul and their lives broken. I understand why Jesus said in Isaiah 61. It goes deeper than what we see on the surface. Things in the scripture go deeper than what we see on the surface. There's an interior to all truth, a thorough revelation deeply in all truth that we don't always see until the Holy Spirit brings to our attention. He said, I came in, the anointing, the Spirit of God is over here, anointing me to preach the gospel, talking about Jesus coming in the ministry. And he said, I healed the broken heart. And you notice he's talking about setting the captive free and healing the broken heart. There's so many people are suffering with brokenness and broken hearts, broken lives, broken relationships, with resentment, bitterness, and malice that's hidden, pushed back. So easily you get into the flesh. That sister, she ain't supposed to be singing. I'm saying, I'm supposed to sing before her. Why is she always getting that? Hear people in church, well, hey, bring this. Why she always got to testify for her? Why he got to be all the way on the line? And then grudges, they go away with a grudge, a small seething thing that's now in their lives if they don't watch it. It gets settled into their spirit. Jealousy, because this person gets more attention, jealousy. One child get jealous of the other. One family member, because she's always get praised. I can't stand the heifer. She always getting the praise. Oh, I can't stand this. He think he's something more pretty than everybody else. That jealousy ending so quickly. And you don't care for it to get inside of you and see a seed of destruction that hinder your life. Because you feel inferior. Children get inferiority complexes when one child is always told how nice and pretty his hair is, how beautiful he's, you so cute. That's why I don't really like a lot of people saying with two or three children and talking about how cute he is. Oh, he's so cute. His hair is just so pretty. I don't like a lot of stuff that people do when they have two or three children and one gets all of these accolades. Oh, he's so cute. And the other two standing there, they don't get no recognition because they don't have curly hair and they don't have light skin, you know what I'm talking about, brother, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They started doing that with my two children, and when I would take them to a place, I said, I'll stop them. I'll put a stop to it. I said, no, we're not going to have these words spoken. We're going to recognize both of them as being precious. And they're not precious because they're cute. This is another thing that we have in our society. Oh, they're so cute. That's the first thing they say about people, cute. Cute ain't worth a hill of beans, brother. Cute. They're looking at the flesh and looking at the hair and thinking, cute ain't worth, I don't know, but that's how human beings relate. Oh, they're so cute. He's so cute. So the other two standing there, she and he, like, well, I must not be nothing. I don't get nothing. So hurts and seething anger and rejection, it's subtle in children, how they're dealt with, because their hair is not straight or their skin is not this color or they're not that way. Oh, and so they get hurt and carry away a resentment against people and life. So how do we deal with people who from all walks of life? The whole world is in a turmoil now in this issue, whether it's from the government issue all the way down in every issue of life. So how do we tell people, especially in ministry or even in that ministry, how to deal with the wounds and the resentment, bitterness that they might see in people's lives?
Well, I think we have to, we know clearly we have to minister to them through the word, through Christ's way, the gospel, to bring them to the place of deliverance. and to let them know it through the word what the anger and bitterness could do to us as people in the what some may call deliberate session. When I'm going through the scriptures, like either on forgiveness or bitterness, I like to let the people who I'm ministering to read it while we're there, because I like for them to put their eyes on it, you know, not just, you know, just sitting listening to me talking all the time. I like for them to put their eyes on it and to see what the Lord is saying to them, whether we're looking at scriptures of bitterness or unforgiveness or hatred, and letting them know what the Lord said those things to do. So I think that I think as a group of believers, we need to stand more firmly on ministering to people through the word, because we know that you look at your worldly psychiatrists and all them, you know, they don't know concerning the fullness of man. And so to them, if someone is depressed, going through something like that, they say, oh, you didn't get to smoke when you were growing up. Go smoke. Or you didn't dance when you wanted to dance. I know you want to be a dancer. Go dance. That's their means of solving the situation, the problem. But Christ gave us a means to work.
I learned this. Whether you are a believer or a Christian or not, there's things you can do to help people. And the first thing everyone has to learn, I learned, listen to people. Just take time to listen to people. Take time to just show them that you're concerned, and you show yourself friendly about their lives. They don't have to be the Christian. They ain't got to be Christian. They can just show themselves concerned and willing to listen to people and hear people, and you can discern how you help them. You can do a good thing to people, and you don't have to do it, quote, from a spiritual point of view. You can just show love and concern about that person. Once you show real love and concern to that person, that you're willing to listen and concern about them, so there is a good chance that when they find out someone is concerned about them and about them and willing to listen, and you'll hear the tune of some hurting or some in their lives, you'll be able to, as a person, whether you're a Christian, of course, if you're a Christian, you have a greater tool to help people. But even if you're not a Christian, you can just be a caring person that show a friendly desire to people, a love, concern about people, will do much and be willing to listen and to observe and take time to be concerned about them. I think that a lot of times people, many people won't accept the quote religious way counseling, but just being a friend, showing love to them, is a great way to break ice, to get them some time to release themselves and seek further healing or deliverance in any way. But just showing yourself friendly and showing love to people and listening to people is a great tool to get them free from a lot of stuff.
Well, we want to welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brothers. I'm blessed. God bless you. I'm just listening again, Brother Lee. And yes, sir. And I was just thinking, and you know, about the word that the conversation that you all are having, and I clicked on when you know, you was talking about, you know, so that's carrying different, you know, things around with them, and how do they get past that? And I was, you know, just listening, and I clicked on because I was thinking that being in a situation where this was a brother that really, I'm going to say he made me mad. And I really carried this around, and I didn't forget it, and I talked about it. And it went on for a while until I actually went to that brother, and I told him what he said, and I told him how I had been feeling about it. And just talking to him, I did feel a release from what I had been carrying around, that if I had gone, well, we lived in different states, but if I had had that conversation sooner, then I wouldn't have carried that around with me as long as I did. And I also find that, as the brother was saying, that just, you know, letting somebody know that you are concerned about them. There's a lady now that I know, and when I see her, I can always look at her without her opening her mouth and saying anything, that is something going on with her. And so I saw her the other day, and I told her, Sharon, I say, something is not right with you. And she looked at me and she said, you're right. I said, no, because I can tell. And I can tell. And I didn't try to get in her business or anything, but I saw her, I talked to her, and then I saw her again today. And I told her, I said, I can see a change in you. And I can just see it from just looking in your face. So just to let somebody know that you are concerned. And I have found out that people will open up to you and talk to you about, you know, things that's going on. And also, as you all was talking and I was listening, and I thought about that scripture where the Lord said that, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A lot of times I find that people are carrying grudges against people that they feel have done something to them, and that person, they don't know that they've done it. You know, they don't know that they've said or done something to you. You feel that they have, but they don't know anything about it. And that's just, you know, when you was talking about President Trump being impeached, and I thought about that scripture again, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because they don't know what they're opening themselves up to. And I was thinking about, you know, these things that's coming up on the earth now. It's like against physical. And I was thinking about that when the broadcast first started, and brother was giving, you know, talking about the saints that have gone on before, and how, you know, they were so blessed in the Lord, and Brother Clark meeting them at the gate, and, you know, just the names, you know, Sister Wells, Sister Rogers, Sister Brother Cracker, Sister Brother Clark, different ones that you was naming off. And I was just thinking about it, came about these four plagues that's coming up on the earth, that's, and one of them is physical. And I was sitting here thinking about the different, you know, physical things have hit, you know, some of the saints in the church, but it's not just going on in the church, it's outside of the church too. You know, people are dying everywhere, and even the scripture that talks about why die before your time, that is happening. You know, all of these shootings, and it was a lady, elderly lady that just got ran over by a car just crossing the street, you know. But these things that are being let loose up on the earth, it's the food, the water, the money. And people think, I heard somebody talking about, you know, this job and how much they're making an hour and all this. And I was telling them, it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end, you know, because people are not thinking about the things that are coming. They're thinking about now. And that's why I'm, you know, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm sad, and I'm going to miss my dear sister Sally, but I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to have known her. You know, there's so many people that they don't, you know, I know they never will now know how blessed they are if they just had the opportunity to get to know. I mean, you don't even have to get to know Sister Sally. You could just meet Sister Sally. She had that kind of love and friend. She was that friendly.
Yeah.
You just meet her, she make you your her friend, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm saddened by her loss, and I just thank and I praise the Lord for that opportunity that I did get to know her. And
yes.
We moved to,
yes.
You know, do all of these this person hurt me and that person wounded me and I hate this person and dislike that person. You know, it's time for us to get past that stuff. I know people can't, but I know it's time for us to get past all of that, the wounds, because as long as we are, you know, you was talking about what these things do to you. You know, when we hold this stuff in us, it harms us physically. We don't, you know, we don't understand how, you know, you can get upset at somebody and you can feel this acid and stuff rising up inside you. And the brother mentioned about forgiving people. You know, a lot of times we have to say, Lord, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive, you know, and get past these things, because this stuff, it festers inside of you and it harms you in a way that we don't realize that it is harming us, and it is. And we be wondering, what's wrong with me? My stomach is hurt. I'm upset and this and this. But it's something that we're holding inside, that we need to release these things. Give them to the Lord. Lord, I choose to give it to you. Give it to him. He can handle it, and we can't. We can't. And the little face-to-face conversation, you know, these things, they are a blessing to not just to me, but to everybody that hears. Everybody that hears. It's truly a blessing,
yeah.
You know. So I just,
yeah.
I just think,
hello.
Yes, I'm here. I just thank God, you know, the word that has gone forth.
Yeah, we're having a conversation about healing the nations and people who are suffering or who have been talked about offenses. You cannot live in a world where there's not going to be an offense. You cannot live in a fallen world or any world where there's not going to be differences, offenses, and that leads into sometimes confrontations. And the confrontation leads a seed of sometimes resentment or harboring a grudge. And they don't deal with that. And sometimes it's dealing with brokenness, broken relationships, broken homes, broken heart, broken this. And the seeds of this thing is in us is not dealt with, and we have to be healed. The first thing I find out with dealing with people, whether you're a Christian or not Christian, you can be concerned about them. Just being concerned and listening to them, listening to people's pain, taking time to just listen to them. Open yourself up to listen to people.
Yeah.
Listen and be concerned. Show concern or some care about people, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. You don't have there's a lot of help you can do, even if you're not doing it from a Christian. But a concerned person will give an opportunity to people to espouse their hurt or their need, and maybe you'll give them some comfort or some direction. And we need to. You can't always take a religious point of view. Now you could always address it from a Christian point of view if you're a Christian, but you can't always use scripture without demonstrating it first. I said it first.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always use a scripture all the time. You have to demonstrate, because people want someone not just tell them about a scripture, but want to show us their concern and their love, and they're open to that.
Yes.
How many minutes we got? 10 minutes?
You got about close to 20.
On your job, you will always find, or any area of life, people that are suffering. You don't have to be a job. It can be in any area of life. And I had some what I call a terrible supervisor. The way they treated their employees, you could tell something was broken in their lives. And especially the women, you can always take time to learn, just listen and look at people if you take time.
Amen.
I worked for a supervisor on my job one time that nobody wanted to work for her. And when you worked for her, it was going to be a dead day. Yeah, I mean, it was going to be a dusty day. Because the way she dealt with you and spoke to you and dealt with you was like, you know, you my slave or you my this, you know. And you would really didn't want to work in her unit, and most of the people would go and run and try to get another unit quick. Some of them actually will call in sick. I can't deal with it. I'm going to call in sick today. I ain't dealing with this. I ain't going to say the names they said, you know, but, you know.
Yeah.
And so one day, I told this before, this lady made me almost angry, and I didn't let people get control of my emotion, make me angry. I maybe didn't like what they said, but I wouldn't have made. But she almost made me lose it one time. I said, oh, God, after I started praying, I almost went off on this lady. I said, oh, no, I got to get control of this. Because I'll start building a resentment like the rest of the people and the despisement for her like the rest of the people. So one day he said, I stood up at the thing and I said, I'm going to listen to her. Whatever she said, I want to listen. And I started standing up there where everybody be running away from her. I was standing there and listening to her. And then after she found out I was listening to her, she started pouring out. And then I could tell why she was mistreating in her office and her supervision, taking it out on employees. I found out what her hurting was. She wanted to talk to somebody to listen. So I would just start listening. And I would listen some more. I said, oh, this is what broken in her life. Oh, I see why she taking it out on us. I can see what's going on. And she started pouring out. Just take time and listen. You don't have to, you know, I find out that I learned this. You don't have to be, quote, religious with people. Just show love and concern and kindness to them.
Yeah.
That would do more to demonstration, to open them up, to later on to recognize the need for Christ when you demonstrate it first by just being concerned and being kind to them, to their hurting, and they'll pour it out to you. Basically, it takes time for some people. Some people won't do it immediately, but just showing concern for them, listening to them. And you don't have to be quoting scriptures all the time. If you're led to do that, I'm not saying you can't do it or don't do it, but don't always think that you have to. Just demonstrate it. Just demonstrate it. See, when a puppy comes to you and you start patting him and start demonstrating your love and petting him, and he come and he may be angry how he's mistreating you, and you start showing, petting him, and you can tell he's been mistreated. You can tell he's been misused many times. And you just give him some water and some pet. That's why you'd be surprised just demonstrating that little thing. His whole attitude changes.
Yes.
So let's keep in mind that there's a lot of hurting people who have been offended, been hurt, who've been mishandled, misused, that words go deeper than physical hurts, that spiritual hurts and soul hurts go deeper than physical hurts. Physical hurts you can openly see and they soon heal. But other wounds don't heal, that you can't see them. They're in the soul or in the spiritual realm, and you don't always detect, and they're laying there, and they're harboring like a tree. Why are you so angry all the time? Why are you a malice? Why you have so much malice against this people? Why you so have resentment? And listen, that's probably where 95% of the people are dealing with something that's broken, wounded, or hurt in their lives. It can come from any area of life.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trump has did some positive things, but he is a angry person. And his words demonstrate that he's two things that you can see things that happen in his life. He can't accept criticism. He can't accept correction that much openly. He don't acknowledge his wrongs or his mistakes. And so he tweets out every day something that hurtful and something rude with people. You notice that his tweets, many times, if you say anything to him, he got to tweet back and he got to say some words that are not always kind or good. And so this caused war and strife continuously. The words keep strife and contention going on. Hurts are being hurdled. Hurts are being handled. And different. Some people are not responding, and this party is not responding well. They get into a grudge match. They get into a wrestling match called a grudge match. And both parties has got this grudge and bitterness against one another. And you look in their eyes, you look in their skins, you look in their countenance, you look in their attitude. Now, when I go past people, and you can tell, but when you pass by them, by your spirit, that they're holding something that ought not to be. You can look at their eyes, their expression. And what happened, even in the church world, they'll start pretending. And once you start pretending, instead of getting rid of stuff, how you feel about people, and getting this straight, you get into hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And they're pretending that you love them so much and kissing and hugging and saying, oh, darling, instead of getting rid of some expression that they may have that cause you to have resentment and dealing with. Now, you talked about you can't always go to everybody. That's a set time you can go to somebody. You can't go to people anytime. And sometimes you can't even go to people first. You had to go to God first, go to Jesus first.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can even think about going to certain people. So, how much time we got? 3 minutes?
We got a caller here. God bless you. You on with Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Anderson. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, I'm just listening right now. Sitting there listening. You know, that'd be interesting.
Okay. Well, we'll set you up where you can continue to listen, okay? Okay. Yeah, we got about 12 minutes, brother. That's a caller that called in.
Jesus was a what they call a continuous hearing and discerning about people, and he was not first judging the person, wanted to know how he could help the person. So when a person found out that you're just not about just judging them, you want to actually help them. Now, if they discern that you really want to help them, I know church people, we all have to learn, and I have to, like I learned, you can't always report people with religious side and distant and judgment side. You got to, Jesus didn't approach us like that, and he didn't deal with it. So we have to learn that even though people may be in different things, in different darkness and sin, go with the expression, I want to help.
Yeah.
I want to be a help to you if I can. I'm open to what if I can help you.
Amen.
Now, you have to rely upon the wisdom of God and ask God, listen, how I best can help them. Well, I want to listen to them. I'm going to just take a time to listen to their hurts in their hearts. Let me listen to their hurts in their hearts.
Yeah.
And let me understand what's going on. Then sometimes as you listen to them, the Holy Spirit will speak to you certain things. If you're a Christian, and the Holy Spirit can tell you certain things about it. But the Holy Spirit will not jump in and try to be pushy and judgmental and religious, because a lot of times people don't want that. They just want somebody to care first, concern, kindness. Mm-hmm. Everybody recognize that. Jesus said, I'm learning a small thing. He said in the word of the Lord and the Bible, said, be kind to all people. No matter what they do to you, learn how to respond in kindness. And that takes the grace of God many times. Christians or no Christian, you can learn to do this whether you're Christian, not just, I'm not going to do like they do it to me. I'm not going to respond that way. I'm going to get a hold to my emotional and my flesh, and I just refuse to do that. Payback. People in the flesh many times, and you're hurt and wounded, you want to pay back. And you have to help people say, how do I get rid of this? I want to get even. I want to pay back. I mean, you don't know what they said. I got to pay them back. I got to do it. No, you got to get healed. What you're crying for is help. Whenever you see people want to get back, they're crying for help. Yes, you don't think they're crying for help. They may not fully wrap. They're crying for help because I'm hurting, and what they did to me deserve a payback. Well, if you want to pay them back, the best way to pay people back is learn how to forgive them and love them. That's the best thing you can do by paying back. That's what Jesus was teaching us. If you want to pay a person back, forgive them and pray for them and love them. That's the best payback you can do. But you have to get free yourself to do this. You have to have love in order to do this, so you got to get it yourself. Get yourself free where you can pay them back real good by loving them and saying, I forgive you, and I'm going to bless you and pray for you.
Yeah.
Now, people turned for comfort when they're hurting or broken to alcohol, drugs, habitual cigarettes, gamblers, and they turn to something else to try to get rid of this. They'll turn to all kind of stuff. You notice that habitual smokers and habitual drinkers, there's a reason they're trying to find an answer to something. So, being around them and letting them aware that you're here to help them, but first to listen to them.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot we're going to learn about our hurt in a broken world. Whether we are Christians or non-Christians, there's things you can do to reaching out to people to receive some kind of assistance to their hurt, to their wounds, or to their physical needs. Be available to share with them that you care and that you're available to listen to them.
Amen.
Because eventually your caring and your love is the first step to their healing.
Amen.
They don't only have to forgive. You have to go be. See, most people think all you have to do is forgive. No, you have. That's the two-step back there. But you have to. People have to be healed after they're forgiven. See the forgiveness is the first step to being healing. But you actually have to teach them how to be healed and recover from that.
Yes.
And it takes time and patience. And today, people don't have time to patience with people. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have a lot of patience, but now I'm learning in my stupid self, you know, that God waited on me and Jesus waited on me and waited on us so I can kind of wait on people. All right. Love conquers every mountain. Let's say this. Love of God conquers every mountain.
Love of Christ
overcome every difficulty.
Overcomes every
offense. Every hurt. In due season, Christ will get you there if you're willing.
Yeah, Christ will get you there. Get me there. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. I'm going have a word to say. Unto the caller here, as we get ready to close out, is there anything any question you ask or anything you want to say?
Not sure, but very interesting. Thank you.
Amen.
If you have a question, be sure to listen in every 7 o'clock. Every night, 7 o'clock, and just listen and tune in there. Click here, you can listen. If you want to say something, you can do it. If you don't, you don't. It's okay. You can just listen.
All right, great.
If you have a request today, I want to go away. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to make sure you lay down that you're right with God, and you can make a decision tonight to give him your heart to life. I want to always do that because, you know, you don't know what tomorrow holds. And so I give people opportunity to get their sins and get their life correct with Christ. So if you want to do that tonight, you can do that. We just want to give you that invitation. If that's what you want to do, you can be welcome in Christ. Okay. Well, good. If that's already taken care of, we thank God for you. You got that all things straight.
Not everything, but everything.
Well, we welcome you, and you can continue to listen every 7 o'clock. every night. And we thank God for you. May the Lord bless you and grow you up into the place he wants you to be.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate you calling, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen.
Tomorrow night we'll be back on Heart to Heart and Face to Face, hurting and wounded people, and what we can do. God bless you.
Amen.
And Jesus is Lord.
Jesus' name. Thank God for the broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. And as my brother said, tune in tomorrow night. Lord say the same, as we can continue on this discussion here. And we just give God all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank God for all you've been listening. We love you all. And from Brother Lee and Brother Nate and Sister Anderson, may God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. God bless.